Hey, Nerd Herd, Dynasty Nerds, we're back with a boom bust episode. We've got six guys that we think are, our opinion, more boom than bust.
Some of our guys kind of dovetail into each other as well. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, they fit pretty well. There's some common names that that we talk about. And one of the players might be my favorite, Williams.
And one of them might be the future quarterback of the Super Bowl champions in 23, 24, 25 season.
One of these seasons.
In the past and future.
Back to the future.
Ready, set, put hook. Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Dotson, here with Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
And Garrett Price.
Hey, how's it going?
Who are also the hosts of the shows.
That is true.
My fellow hosts. I shouldn't even say host. I said host last time, and I was like, why did I say that? And I just did it again. I'm just Rich Dotson.
You're Rich Dotson?
Yeah, the most annoying guy on the podcast. Who's going to talk the most?
Some would say.
Rich, we've said it multiple times. Like, you're the main reason a lot of people love the show.
But Thank you so much.
You have a lot of people that also don't love you as much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know those people. They let me know. It's okay. I'm friends with everybody. I don't hate anybody, so it's
cool. You're like dark chocolate. You know, like people either love it or hate it.
I don't like it.
I love it. I love dark chocolate.
I'm a big fan.
All day long.
Love dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
But that's the thing. People aren't middle ground on dark chocolate. Like they either love it or they hate it. That's Rich Dotson.
He's just gonna say, man, I really like white chocolate. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty racist. That's not gonna come out right. Better not say that.
That is not gonna
But I do like white chocolate. It's pretty good.
For what it's worth.
I like some chocolate. Remember that time that I said,
white chocolate is just tastes like fake wannabe chocolate to me.
I like all chocolate. I don't.
No, to be fair, I don't love white chocolate. I like white chocolate. You know what I like? Chocolate covered espresso beans.
See, I'm not a big coffee guy, so that won't do it for me.
Bingo.
Big fan.
Bingo.
Big fan.
At work, I used to pop those things like crazy.
Really?
Because accounting gets boring in the afternoon. Sure. You gotta stay awake.
Dude, they're good. Bink. They're really good.
I forgot about those.
Yeah. I like thin layers of chocolate on things like. Mm-hmm. I like Reese cups. I'm like, oh, I thought you don't like chocolate. I'm like, dude, Reese cups are 85% peanut butter, bro. Like, is that I wouldn't classify Reese's as chocolate.
Bro.
Like Hershey Kisses are chocolate, right? Nestle Crunch is like mostly chocolate.
Yeah.
Hershey's bars, that's chocolate. I don't like that.
I'll have all of that.
It's just me.
Give me any of that.
And for somebody who eats everything, I still think like chocolate ice cream's gross. Like it's really weird. Like cottage cheese, blue cheese, and chocolate ice cream are no bueno for me.
I'm with you on the first two, but not on the chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the feet cheese. I'm good with any of the rest of that stuff.
Yep.
Blue cheese just smells like feet or tastes like feet smell to me.
What's weird with blue cheese is like it's so different. Like I don't mind like crumbled blue cheese in a very small amount.
So
like,
here's my one exception to blue cheese. You ever had a martini with blue cheese stuffed olives?
No.
Fantastic. I don't know if you guys are martini guys.
Last time I drank martinis, I blacked out in Canada. I've only blacked out twice in my life, and that was one of the times.
Martinis, that's a slippery slope, man. You get one, and you got to muscle that first one down, and then all of a sudden those things start going.
We were talking on one show, one of the AMAs, somebody asked us, like, keep trade cut or of like different types of beers, like craft beers, IPAs. And
that's a Matt question.
Those are, and we were like, Matt and Jared would be way better at these questions.
I was like, I don't drink
than Rich and I. We are not exciting for this.
Yeah, I don't
this
like
answer.
Beer that much anymore.
I barely drink beer anymore. I get like a taste for beer every once in a while, and most of the time it's
summer day,
summer times, and it's like a Corona.
Sure,
good Corona's are
baseball
good.
Game.
Yeah, Corona with a lime in it, something like that.
I'll get down on that. Mm-hmm. I'm out on a seltzer game. I like when I was in Florida, I spent $300 on vodka lemonades. It was $250.
I had the best margarita I've ever had in my life the other day, and it was a jalapeno margarita.
Those
and
are good.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Those are fantastic.
Fantastic.
I still swear blood orange margaritas are the greatest orange margaritas of all time.
There was something weird. There was something weird about the jalapeno. Like it was, you get all the peppery flavor from the jalapeno, but it wasn't like spicy or hot. It was still somehow
refreshing
and sour. It was so good.
Ashley was drinking those in Florida, jalapeno
yeah
margaritas, and she gave me a sip. I was like, that's pretty good.
I had to fill it up again.
That's how I was with.
Run it back.
Hit this one back.
I made a mistake of going, wow, these vodka lemonades are really good. And it was like in Florida in the sun. And it was like halfway through the day. I went to the bartender. I was like, can you start making me doubles? She was like, yeah, for sure.
Of course I can.
Safe to say, I got, yeah, it got bad.
Got loose. All right. Yeah.
So, but now we're not talking about it. We're talking.
How did we even get on this?
I don't know.
No idea.
Oh, blue cheese. And then I went martinis. And all right.
That's how we always start a show.
It started with chocolate.
For the people that hate the show, they always like, dude, I listened to the show for 8 minutes. Before I heard a fantasy advice thing. It's like, well, that's how we do our show. That's our show.
Sometimes we go off the rails.
Yeah. But usually it's in the beginning of the show.
It is.
We talk about some stuff. And I know. You get to know us a little bit better over 10 years. Like, I feel like people know us pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe not Garrett as much.
Yeah. Look at how quiet he is over there.
Yeah. Why don't you get out of the closet a little bit?
Come on, buddy.
Open yourself up a little bit.
People want to know.
What do you want to know? Ask me anything.
I asked you to show you your nipples that one time. You refused.
That is true.
Yeah. So not anything.
That's called.
I said, ask me anything. I didn't say I would give you anything.
That's called harassment.
Dennis.
Looney Tunes or Disney?
Oh, Disney. Disney fur.
I'll say Looney Tunes.
I love Space Jam. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about movies. I'm just about characters.
Yeah.
Movies for sure. Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, Looney Tunes doesn't make movies.
They made Space Jam.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a little bit.
Is that Looney Tunes?
It was both.
I really loved Who Framed Roger
Rabbit. Part of the contract for them to put Mickey Mouse in Who Framed Roger Rabbit was, okay, we'll allow you to put Mickey Mouse in there, but he has to be on the screen with an exact equal time to Bugs Bunny.
Wow.
That was the deal of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Interesting.
Yeah, Disney was like, nope, Looney Tunes will not get the...
They're not one-upping us.
I loved Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Me too.
It was such a good movie.
Yep.
Check it out for all you youngsters. Probably, I wonder if it still holds up.
I don't know. Because I can watch things through that lens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When
you were younger?
Yeah. When I was younger, in that time period, I can watch that movie and still appreciate it. But I don't know.
I'll eat edible, then watch it, and then let you know. Because I bet it holds up even better that way. So
fantastic.
All right. We're doing boom or bust players. We should do boom or bust movies sometimes.
Like,
movies coming out, boom or bust.
That'd be fun.
Then we're just reviewing movies.
We're just movie reviews. Basically.
It was a bust. I give it three thumbs down.
Would we get free movie tickets somehow out of it?
Or just early access?
Worth it.
Maybe worth it. I don't know.
If watching movies became part of my job, and I could watch a lot more movies.
We literally said like 5 years ago, like we're going to start a podcast talking movies because we just like talking movies so much.
I do enjoy talking movies.
It would be a good podcast.
I just need to see more movies to talk about them.
Because then you talk about what happened in the movie and then what leads into your life. And you get to know us even more. Remember that time I did this? God, Richard.
I won't talk about any Christopher Nolan movie all day long.
That's true too.
Yep.
You know what amount of things I've done that are really stupid in my life?
How many, Rich?
I do.
A lot.
I do.
I mean,
not all.
You've probably been there for a lot of them.
And a lot of things that are like inappropriate and against the law. I do it. Remember that time in the Indians game?
Are we having a confessional right now?
I had to go to the bathroom. Oh, you were there. Or the dance club.
I remember the dance club.
I was wiggling. All right. Anyways, we're back. We're talking boomer bust.
Boomer bust this show.
So my first player, what are we at time-wise?
About 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That's about right. That's about average for a rant.
That was 8 minutes for the haters, baby. Now we're back.
Hater for the haters.
That's not even what the ads are.
It should say in the beginning of the show, if you want to skip the boys, jump to 8 minutes and 59 seconds along those lines.
Oh, speaking of the boys.
Ooh, coming out tomorrow.
Looks
that's
so
tomorrow?
Good.
Tomorrow.
Don't they release it by episode?
Oh, I hope not. Do they?
If they do, I'm waiting.
That would make me so sad. They didn't with Fallout.
Oh, is it the boys that's I think the boys are doing 3 episodes and taking a break. I believe that was the boys that said it. Like they're doing 3 episodes, taking a break until July.
And then doing 3 more? Is it only 6?
The rest of the season. I don't know. But I saw the preview for the new season and it looked dope. I love the boys. It's so good. It's
such
so good.
A good show.
That's my alley, dude. Like sex stuff. Superheroes, blood and gore. Like, that's my stuff. That's my stuff.
Rich in a nutshell.
Superheroes.
If Rich would exist horror, in any fictional movies. Universe, it would be the boys.
Oh, here's something. I got some we're talking movies.
We almost got in.
Dude.
So close.
I just watched a movie. I put out on Twitter, too. But if you don't follow me on Twitter, @DynastyRich, shoot me a follow. I don't know why I want followers. I just need them apparently. Even though I don't tweet anymore. But I tweeted this. I watched a movie. I actually rented it on Amazon because I couldn't find it. I heard it was really good. I don't ever rent movies. It's called Late Night with the Devil.
Okay.
And it's filmed like it's a 1970s talk show. Just like that. In that format, the screen and everything, and get a behind the scenes. Horror movie. Really good. Really good. Probably one of the best horror movies I've seen in a long time. It's one of the movies that just goes, and it's like very just like, it's a 70s TV show, and then it takes a right turn out of nowhere at the end, and you're just like, oh, wow! And then it's over.
Really good. Sounds
Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil.
I give it, I almost want to give it an A+, but that's a really high
bar. That's a high bar.
So I give it a very solid A, borderline A+. My son gave it an A+.
All right.
He doesn't know any better.
He's seen 12 movies. I ran on Amazon. Honestly, could not recommend it for a horror movie because I know that's like the hardest like genre to make, like a good horror movie.
It is tough.
And to do it differently, you know, not like Jason 85.
Right.
To do it differently, very good movie.
Interesting.
So, Late Night with the Devil.
Interesting indeed.
See if we're doing it. We just did our
first episode.
There you go. Boomer bust.
10-minute episode. Late Night with the Devil. If you want more, tweet at Dynasty Rich on Twitter. That's something we could do with the suit to shit. I'll eat some edibles.
Oh, boy.
Second reference to edibles.
I think I talk crazy now.
We're 10 minutes in.
Yeah. I live in Ohio, baby.
We gotta get into
the show. So, Boomer bust players.
So, the concept of this.
Yes, please explain.
Is basically a player that, if it's a wide receiver or running back, there is a realm of possibility that they could be a running back or wide receiver one. Like, really potentially high ceiling. But there's also a realm of possibility where they're a running back or wide receiver four and just totally does not deliver on what you would expect. Of quarterbacks, it would be more, in tight ends, it would be more like top eight or top six. And then, or be, you know, a low end two or a three.
So what you're trying to say is boom or bust.
Completely boom or bust. I'm just trying to clarify what we mean by boom or bust. I'm just making sure people know.
So let me tell you about this movie. So my first guy on the list here is Diontae Johnson, wide receiver of the Carolina Panthers, 28 years old. And Diontae Johnson right now, I mean, his value has slipped significantly in PPR. He's going like right around like wide receiver, like 40-ish. In these leagues, everybody's swooping up these rookies. And when you look at Diontae Johnson, you know, going to Carolina, which does not help his cause, right? You look at his team and you're like, this is not a kosher environment. But a couple things about Diontae Johnson. One, this is the final year of his contract. So he's in a contract year, which always bodes well for players. They're going to go in and really try to get that bag.
They want to maximize.
Yep. He's playing for the Carolina Panthers. This team is going to struggle and play from behind significantly. And right now, they don't really have an established receiver on their roster. They have Xavier Legette, who's actually sat out so far in OTAs with hamstring issues. I hate seeing that stuff.
Don't love
him and Xavier Worthy early. That really does bother me. But then you have, besides him, you got Adam Thielen, who's a little older. You got Terrace Marshall. He hasn't done anything. You have Jonathan Mingo. He hasn't done anything.
Did you guys know that I'm exactly 10 years older than Adam Thielen? Exactly.
To the day?
To the day.
Yeah, we call that a decade around these parts. Mm-hmm.
I'm a decade older.
So you're a decade older. Good for you. Mm-hmm. You got a coin or something?
I don't have anything. No.
I'll mint you one. Thank you. Diontae Johnson, and going to the situation, Tina's going to struggle. The number one they traded for him, arguably the best route runner on the team. Probably not arguably. He's the best route runner on the team. Most established receiver. This is a guy who, when you look at all the data points, consistently gets open, gets separation. As a wide receiver, he's coming off of 2023 with bad quarterback these last couple of plays. I mean, he's had some really good career marks in 2023. He had his best yards per route run. He had his best average depth of target. He had his best drop rate percentages. Somebody who got better, which is what we want to see in 2023 in a bad situation, and a wide receiver who already does have a top 10 finish. He was wide receiver 8 in 2021. He was wide receiver 22. In 2020, he was wide receiver 22. 22, he was wide receiver 41, we know. And wide receiver 40 last, I'm sorry.
He's dropped off quite a bit.
He's dropped off.
Yeah, since Big Ben.
Even when you're looking at his numbers, in 2022, he finished as wide receiver 41. He had 147 targets. 147. Crazy. He caught 86 of those. Didn't score a single touchdown.
Not a single one.
Which killed him. And I think we did a show on him. If he just caught like three touchdowns, it'd have bumped him up to like wide receiver like 18 or something along those lines.
Something ridiculous.
So a ton of targets in 2022, caught 86 of those, which also shows you the quarterback play was not doing him any favors whatsoever. In 2021, he had 169 targets.
So many targets.
107 receptions, 8 touchdowns. That's where he finished as wide receiver 8. So it shows where the touchdowns can come into effect and actually be able to catch the football with catchable balls. 2020, 144 targets, 7 touchdowns. So it shows, with that amount of targets, what does it show you? This is a receiver that's getting open. He's getting thrown the football because he knows how to get open. And you've heard that about Deontay Johnson forever now. Like, he's one of the best route runners that get an opening in the league. And it's just, he's suffered for these last couple of years with real bad quarterback play. Now, he's probably still going to get pretty bad quarterback play. But he is a free agent, and he's now at least the number one target. And the bad quarterback play is coming from the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think the fact that Deontay Johnson is a guy that can get open close to the line of scrimmage is going to be a good thing for the quarterback and he to kind of connect. You know what I mean? We've seen Deontay Johnson totally eat. You mentioned all the targets. In Big Ben's last year, I don't know. I don't have the numbers right here in front of me in Big Ben's last year, but his ADOT was ridiculously low. And it was because he was just able to get open quickly. Big Ben was getting rid of the ball so fast because he knew his offensive line stunk and he was going to get destroyed if he didn't. So I think a similar strategy can be used there in Carolina to kind of highlight what Bryce Young does good. He does well, which is get rid of the ball, make good decisions, and not necessarily have to drive the ball downfield very far.
And that's where he struggles,
right?
Is pushing the ball outside the numbers downfield. Like, now, he struggles there pretty bad.
And I think Deontay Johnson's a good selection because, you know, if in this new offense he does get peppered with targets, obviously he could have a monster season. We see guys all the time that you're like, he ended up as a wide receiver one. But if they get enough targets, a couple big plays here and there, and then all of a sudden there they're at. But he's a great boomer bust because the opposite could happen too. You could get Xavier Leggett comes in and takes the league by storm and is awesome in his rookie year. Adam Thielen is way more involved than we expect him to be at this point in his career. And then all of a sudden, you know, Deontay Johnson is wide receiver 44, and you're like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, and
he was
and
supposed to be the guy.
He was supposed to be the guy. So I think he's a great one because and with all of these guys, it's all about your risk tolerance. Like, you have to have some guys with some boom bust, or I shouldn't say bust, but at least has some boom potential on your team. Because if you don't, have fun taking every player at ADP and they get exactly what roughly they should, and then you have a fairly mediocre team. Like, you need players that have at least a chance to exceed where you drafted them at.
Right. You need some of those safe players.
You need some safe players.
Yeah.
But you need some boom players too if you want to win a ship.
Yep.
And Deontay Johnson falls right into that category, which we've seen him again year after year be peppered with those targets. He's somebody that's going to consistently get open. When you look at him right now, this is Deontay Johnson, somebody right now, he's averaged over his career, or if you go back to past 3 seasons, he's averaged a 25% target share on the team. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. He's averaged 25% target share.
That's big.
And he's had multiple different quarterbacks still come away the target share. And he's also, at the same time, when he sees at least 34 pass attempts, he's averaging, when a team throws the ball, at least 34 times, he's averaging 17 points per game. So this is somebody that's going to come in and give you that above 13, 14 points per game on average. When he's being targeted and teams actually can throw the football, you're bringing a head coach like Dave Canales out of Tampa Bay, who did wonders with all the quarterbacks that he's worked with. We do hope to see a step forward here in the first overall pick of Bryce Young. We kind of talked about he's possibly a good buy low because he's sunk so down.
Yeah.
And having a legit receiver should help him, a guy like Deontay Johnson. Hey, Nerd Herd, this is Rich Dotson. I've got some exciting news for you. Underdog Fantasy is back with their annual Best Ball Mania tournament. And this year, it's bigger and better than ever with a whopping $15 million prize pool. Best Ball Mania 5 is the ultimate fantasy football competition where you draft your team and then sit back and relax. No trades, no waivers, just your best lineup every week automatically set by Underdog. For just $25, you can enter for a shot at the grand prize of $1.5 million. Plus, there are tons of other prizes throughout the season, including $500,000 for the top regular season performer. And guess what? We've got a special offer just for our listeners. Use the promo code NERDS when you sign up, and Underdog will match your first deposit 100% up to $100. That's right, double your money to get more entries and more chances to win. Don't miss out. Drafts are happening now, and entries close before the first game of the season. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com or download the Underdog app, sign up with the promo code NERDS, and start your journey to fantasy football glory today. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. The terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789.
So absolutely. Matt,
who do you got?
All right, so I'm going to actually go to a similar well in the fact that these guys used to be teammates, and my guy is George Pickens, 23 years old. I think according to his stuff we have up there, he's currently going with an ADP of 62 in Superflex tight end premium leagues. Last year, he finished as wide receiver 29 in PPR, and when you dig in a little bit to the numbers, he had 106 targets last year, which was tied for 28th with Jacoby Myers, who was wide receiver 24 in the year. He had a bunch of touchdowns, kind of 10 total touchdowns for Jacoby Myers, so he kind of got bumped ahead of him as far as production. But Pickens was as far as yards, much better than a guy like Jacoby. But when you look at the targets that he did receive last year, the 106, only 65 of those were considered catchable targets fantasy pros. So that's only 61.3%, which is really low. I mean, that 65. Is very low.
Kind of showing Deontay Johnson, same thing
there. Exactly. So I wanted to highlight that.
Going anything back to below 75%, you're a little disappointed.
Exactly. So, you know, and he caught 63 of the 65 catches. So he only had two, he was credited with two drops, and that was the only differential there. And obviously, I'm going to kind of go on a pros and cons list. Right now, we talked about Deontay Johnson. He left, right? So that leaves behind some vacated targets. He had 87 targets last year. Obviously, they brought in some people as well. Van Jefferson, who has some familiarity there with Arthur Smith. And they obviously drafted Roman Wilson in the third round, 20th pick. Neither one of those guys, to me, screams, I have got the skills to completely fill the void of Deontay Johnson. So I do expect some of those targets to kind of naturally flow over to George Pickens, who is the bona fide number one there at this point. You look at the quarterback play, obviously that changes as well. So as much as Rich hates Russ Wilson.
But not Justin Fields.
They've got Russ Wilson, Justin Fields. Last year, those guys throwing to their number one targets, Cortland Sutton, who's a very similar body style and kind of throw it up guy. Russ Wilson had a 72% catchable pass rate. And, you look at DJ Moore, who was the number one, not necessarily body style type of guy, same as George Pickens, but he was at 73.5. So naturally,
Justin Fields with the higher on target percentage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of surprising.
Not for me when you're talking Russ Wilson.
You mean one of the top 10 greatest fantasy quarterbacks?
Dude, stop living 98? In the past. Yeah, George Washington was the first president. Good for him.
So you look at the numbers and
I remember you say a bad word about George Washington.
I never would say anything bad about George. Great, one of the greatest presidents of all time.
Yes, he was.
I know. That's what all he
right.
said.
So if you just do a little bit of tweaking on some of these numbers, right? You don't have to get crazy, right? I gave George Pickens an extra 14 targets. Nothing crazy, just going to go from 106 to 120. And then if you just bump his catchable target rate from 63 or whatever the heck it is, just to 70, not even to the 72, 75 mark that you had mentioned, just to 70%. And he ends up with 84 receptions, 1,521 yards. And I just kept the touchdowns the same at five. And he's all the way up as wide receiver 10 right there, 266 points in PPR. It sounds like a lot, right? It sounds, dude, 1,500 yards, that's crazy. But with a guy like Pickens, who is ultra, he's really efficient with his targets, and he does good things with the ball when he's got the ball in his hands, just getting a slight bump in just efficiency from the quarterback, which I think is almost a guarantee at this point compared to what he had last year, and just a few more targets, and you jump from wide receiver 29 up to wide receiver 10. Pretty easily in my eyes.
All my underdog drafts, I've been targeting George Pickett and Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Two of the guys have been targeting at receiver.
So, I mean, those are like all, that's my list of pros. And I think it lays out a pretty easy thing to see. You know, you could see that path. And obviously the cons are Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is who the hell knows what you're going to get. And George Pickens himself is another huge negative. And will these two guys get along is the biggest issue I have. And the reason he has bust potential. I mean, he could end up in the doghouse. And he could be in Arthur jail all year, and all of a sudden the whole freaking offense is running through Van Jefferson for some ungodly reason, and they're just mediocre to the nth degree. And that's within the realm of, I think, possibilities with this offense. So that's why I chose him as a boom bust. What do you guys think?
I love it. I mean, you're talking about a receiver that led his team in receptions last year. He led his team in yards, led his team in touchdowns as well, and you know, the highlight catches are there for George too. So he can go out there and get the football when Russ is really off target and working alpha script like he's probably going to do and get benched. bringing a better quarterback. So for me, I love George Pickens. And I texted you that too. You're like, oh, there's so many guys to choose here. And you mentioned George Pickens first. You're like, oh, my pivot. I'm like, no, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because I thought about doing George Pickens because he screams
boom bust.
The thing with him is like, I feel like he's somewhat even like his being the one. I feel like he's somewhat. No, because I think his quarterback potential does put him in that bust category, which is going to be outside.
The reason I was going to pivot, it's not because I don't think he can get to the wide receiver one. I think his floor might be a little. I thought initially his floor might be a little safer, but then when I started thinking, the more and more I thought about it, I was like, no, with Arthur Smith and him,
it can be bust potential.
It's just they're both hard headed, and you know Arthur Smith wants his stuff done his way, and if George Pickens kind of does his own thing, who knows where he's going to end up. So that's my biggest worry.
I love that number, how you just tweaked his numbers very slightly, gave him the same touchdown. It's just got him a little bit more on target and where it got him. It's like, it's almost mind blowing to show that how high he can like excel to. And absolutely, George Pickens is obtainable right now in Dynasty. I mean, if you offer, you can probably get George Pickens right now if you haven't had your rookie draft yet in a Superflex draft for a guy like, you know, anywhere in that Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy range, anywhere from 9 to 12, honestly, even 12, because people are like, oh, Jonathan Brooks, you know, right there, one of the quarterbacks. So he's obtainable right now, possibly even for a future first, like a 2025 first. And you probably got to throw a little bit on top, but like if you throw off a 25 first and second in a Superflex league, that might get you George Pickens.
I mean, he finished as wide receiver 29. You might not have to give up much more than a first.
Guess what I'm doing tonight? Mm-hmm. Throwing out some first for George Pickens.
I have him in one of my leagues that we're in together. Don't bother.
I got him in a couple leagues too. I'm pretty happy with those. I made some trades. Actually, one of the players we're going to talk about here, I just traded for. I gave up Jahan Dotson in a first four. I'll tell you who it was. It's your guy.
Ooh. My next guy.
I was going to see if you guys think that was worth it, but let's go. Hey, Dynasty nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As a Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
All right. My first one is Javonte Williams.
Surprise.
In some ways it is, because you would think I would only talk about him as a boom.
I thought it was Cole Komet or DJ Dallas.
Not a bust. Well, look, if your league has return yards, you know, DJ Dallas.
Dude, DJ Dallas is boom or bust.
When he's boomed, he's boomed. And when he hasn't, he hasn't.
He has not.
But Javonte Williams, I think, is a really, really interesting player right now in fantasy football to get a good grasp on what he's going to do. I think the opinions are all over the map. The confidence is all over the map. And so let's go with some of the pros in the beginning here. One, he is now a full year removed from that ACL injury. And that's huge. We talk about it all the time. Expect a number dip in that first year back. It happens with almost, unless you're Adrian Peterson,
you're right.
Like unless you're a freak of nature, you almost always have a little bit of a dip. And that happened with Javonte Williams this past year. He stayed pretty healthy for the most part, which was good to see. There was a small scare. He only had two carries in one game and then missed the next one. And you know, we were a little nervous. And then he came back and he finished the season strong and was good. But the numbers overall were underwhelming. Part of it was lack of touchdowns. And we know that sometimes things with the Sean Payton offense can get a little wonky. And it's just, for whatever reason, when he got hurt, you know, then they were right on the goal line and McLaughlin got the touchdown. And like, there were just little things like that that happened that was just bad luck.
Circumstances
that happened all season long. You know, he'd rip off a big run and then, you know, need to catch a break real quick and somebody else would get the touchdown. And you know, just those kind of things happened all season long. So between rushing and receiving, you only had 5 touchdowns last year. Not a lot for a guy that with his workload. And that's one of the other pluses. You know, with a lot of other players to say they're going to boom, you need to adjust their workload. You really don't have to adjust much from what Javonte Williams did last year. He averaged just under 15 carries per game last year. So a featured running back getting 15 carries a game, you're pretty happy with that. You'd love to get to 17, 18, but 15 is well within the range if they're getting receiving work of a guy that could be a potential running back one. And he did get a decent amount of work in the receiving game. 58 targets, 47 receptions, 228 yards, and then the 2 touchdowns in the receiving game. So overall, I think the work is there if the health progresses to where it used to be, because he was a guy that was averaging 4.4 yards per carry. Last season, obviously, he was recovering from the injury, and so he had 3.6 yards per carry. He gets back up into that 4.3, 4.4 range like he was previously, then we're going to be looking at an over 1,000-yard rusher who is probably also, you know, with more yards and longer runs, you're getting more touchdowns and things like that as well. So there's definitely a path for him to be, with all of that volume, if he can get back to his former self, he could be a very good running back. Now, the flip side, maybe he doesn't return to form. Maybe he is a guy that post-injury just never quite gets the juice back. We've seen that happen out of other running backs. Even though ACL isn't as devastating as it once was, there are still guys that just are never quite the same after their injury. So maybe he doesn't. Maybe one of these guys that has joined the team gets a bigger workload. I'm not the biggest fan of Audric Estime. I wasn't when we broke down his film. Usually fifth round picks don't worry me too much, but I know there's people that really like him and think that he could cut into his workload. There's also been talk of McLaughlin, and even Blake Watson's been impressing in camp, and those are both pass catching backs. So
you like Blake Watson?
I do like Blake Watson quite a bit, especially when I thought he was 6 foot, 220 pounds. but he's a little smaller than I really originally thought. So there are other pieces that, even though none of them are established guys, you never know with Sean Payton. Sean Payton is the king of, hey, I'm going to ride this hot hand and we'll see, even if they're not the highest draft selection or whatever. Like, if I think they're good and I can find the right role to fit them in.
Yeah, remember
Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles. Like, there are different players that maybe they weren't huge names, but he found the right fit in the right scheme and it made it work. But we've seen Sean Payton over and over and over have running back ones in his offense. It happens almost every year. Last year was one of the first years in his career where he didn't have a running back one of some sort. I expect at some point, they return to that. Could it be Javonte Williams? It could, but maybe not.
Yeah, and I think that some things piggybacking on everything else that you said is, you know, Sean Payton does want to establish a run game. Add to that, they have a rookie quarterback, most likely being a starter. But also, they upgraded their offensive line. They changed that up. They made some changes there. And they also made some changes to the coaching staff. What does that tell me? Sean Payton wasn't happy with the run game last year. He wasn't happy with what did he do? He didn't go out and go get just a brand new running back and change the running back. He adjusted offensive line and adjusted the coaching staff. on that as well. So for me, I think it does lean to that boom bust potential of Javonte Williams on top of him being also in a contract year.
Yeah.
So he really has to come out and show, because if he doesn't, this could be the end of Javonte Williams.
It absolutely
could. Which is to be kind of a potential. He has now has a chance to either get franchised, extended, or sign with another team. And this is the only chance he would probably have to do that. So yeah, I'm in on that as well.
And what we need to see, I think, from a guy like Javonte Williams is see that explosion back, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he was an explosive guy. He was a yards after contact. He would create. And digging into the numbers a little bit, last year his juke rate, according to fantasy data, 15.5%, down from 32.6 pre-injury in 2021. Yeah. So I think and his evaded tackles were like 81 to 41 this past season. So it's been a lot. I think that is the jump that he needed to make, is to get that kind of element back to his game. And then I think naturally the 3.56 or 3.6, like you said, goes back up to the 4.3, because he's getting those yards after contact. He's getting that tough yardage. And then the value, I think, can shoot through the moon for a guy like Javonte Williams in this offense. And he's just got to be more efficient, even in the receiving game.
Yep.
I mean, 47 receptions, only 228 yards on that. That's a little disappointing.
Yeah, you'd want to see 300-400 yards on that.
Yeah, for that amount. So I think just getting his explosion back, hopefully this is the year that it happens, because it's, you know, 1 year removed, like you said, from the ACL surgery. But a player that I love, before you actually said I want to do Javonte Williams, but before I read your text that said, yeah, I had highlighted him too as a guy that I saw a lot of boom bust potential in. Yep. And for a guy that has Javonte Williams, I hope it's more boom than bust.
We're hoping more boom than bust, but you never know.
Yeah, because then otherwise you'll have a new favorite Williams next year.
Never. I'm loyal. Loyal forever, baby. DJ Dallas.
All right, my next guy here is going to be the quarterback on the future Super Bowl champion team for the season, and that's the Cleveland Browns. And my guy is...
I love for a second you're doing Patrick Mahomes.
Boom bust.
Deshaun
he could get hurt.
There's the bust. So when I say boom bust here, I'm looking at top six potential. And
Deshaun Watson is a great one for this.
And we saw his name on that list of three already. And that kind of goes to show that this is somebody where... Every single year that he's played at least 15 games, he's been a top five fantasy quarterback. Every single year. This is a quarterback who has pedigree, right? He dominated at the college football level. Beat that stud Alabama team, almost won two national championships. Dominated in Texas at the high school level. He has had success everywhere he's gone.
First round pick.
First round pick pedigree here. Somebody who's a dual threat quarterback. He's somebody who even this past season, he averaged 30 rushing yards per game. And on the team right now, the Browns are pivoting to a throw-first football team. They want to air it out, throw the ball deep, and really change their style of play completely. It's why they brought Ken Dorsey in and got rid of Alex Van Pelt. Kind of in Cleveland, it caught a lot of people here off guard because the offense was humming. Definitely with Joe Flacco last year, like that was a good defense. They thought Alex Van Pelt did a really good job, but they really want to make this offense Deshaun Watson oriented. They went out and traded for Jerry Jeudy after trading for Elijah Moore. Amari Cooper right now, all rumors here in Cleveland that he's going to get extended. He's holding out right now. It looks like the talk is he's going to get an extension here in Cleveland. First receiver to have back-to-back, I think, 1,000 yards ever in Cleveland history.
Crazy, right?
In the history of the Cleveland Browns.
As long as it's been a franchise, like, that's nuts.
A dominant football, a really good offensive line. Three legitimate receiving weapons with a really good tight end. David Njoku just recently came out and said this offense is going to be juicy. And so far, it looks like it's going to include David Njoku even more. And we saw him break out the second half of last season. So Njoku's really excited about it. Just came out this week talking about it, how the offense is going to actually showcase him a little bit more, which you would think with those receivers, he should be open in the middle a lot more. I mean, this is somebody who has a lot to prove here in Cleveland. And I love that, like I said, that dual threat ability. And Ken Dorsey's got a lot of experience with these mobile quarterbacks. He's worked with Josh Allen in the past. He's worked with Cam Newton in the past and helped them find success. So this offense, he knows how to come in and utilize that mobile quarterback. And that's where Deshaun Watson works best, when he's on the move. Out of shotgun, play action, rolling out to his left and right. He's a very good mobile quarterback. We saw what he did last year in the second half of that Baltimore Ravens game where he put him in Baltimore on his back and took the Browns and made a huge comeback with a broken shoulder. His shoulder right now looks like it's in pretty good shape. And I mentioned, so far, even last year, when Deshaun Watson actually played in all the games he played last year, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback in 3 of the 5 games he played full games last year as well. So this is a player where obviously this is where the bus comes into equation is can he stay on the field? Because right now, both years in Cleveland, he has not been able to stay on the field, whether it be injury, outside things going on. It seems like he's really cleaned up his outside life. He's cleaning up, but he has to stay on the field. And right now it's been injuries. He's been nagged by those injuries. So can he come in? That's the reason why they got rid of Joe Flacco and brought in a guy like Jameis Winston. I love the weapons he has. Amari Cooper, I think, is one of the best receivers in the game. Jerry Jeudy, if you look at statistics in Denver, they're pretty good on his ability to get open. It's just Russ Wilson was missing him all the time. So
Russ had him for like a season.
Hey, man, still a season. He was getting open. His open rate was good. I'm a big Elijah Moore fan. He hasn't done anything here in Cleveland. He didn't do anything in the Jets. I'm still Elijah Moore.
I still like him as well. I'm disappointed that he hasn't produced anything for fantasy.
And here's another thing. Here's another little tidbit for this season. According to PFF and according to their metrics, right now, the Browns wide receivers have the easiest matchups this season out of all receivers in the NFL, according to PFF. Now, I always get, I'm not all in on those like preseason because every team is right. Different. Stuff changes. 40% change up. But right now, again, according to Pro Football Focus, the Browns wide receivers have the easiest matchups for the whole season. So Deshaun Watson is literally going to be in the best position he's ever been in his entire career to find success. Sounds boom like or bust.
Sounds like he's out of excuses after this year.
I know where Matt's leaning.
Hold on. No, just give me a second. It's going to, hold on. Hold on. Oh, below Tommy DeVito. That's where Deshaun Watson finished 35th. No, I'm just kidding. We all know he was injured last year. behind Tommy DeVito, just to let you know.
Hey, don't be talking about Deshaun like that.
Danny DeVito's son did better than Deshaun Watson last year.
Well, let's go to Garrett. You liked that pick.
I thought it was a really good pick because I can see both paths. I can see both paths there very, very clearly. Deshaun Watson, we know he's got the talent. We know he's got the ability in him. But we've also seen what he looks like when he's distracted.
He's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
He is, because there's times where we saw him throw football in Houston and you're like, man, it's a pretty ball. Yep. Like, he's making plays with his legs, with his arms. Like, everything's on point. Everything's locked in. And then you watched him for most of the time, not all of it, but most of the time with the Browns, and you're like, he's airmailing it. He's thrown into the ground.
Skipping him in.
He's airmailing. Yep. Yeah, it's really inconsistent. Now, you would see flashes where you would see a quarter or a half or sometimes even a full game where you're like, that was the Deshaun Watson I thought we were getting. But it just hasn't been consistent. And so this is somebody where I think it's less physical. I think it's more mental at this point. Can he get back to that killer instinct that he had? Can he clear the cobwebs? Can he get all of his mechanics back in the right motion?
He's got the yips.
Healthy.
He's thinking. He's not playing.
Yeah. Can he go back to just playing?
Yeah. And that's what he needs to be able to do. And please, I mean, you could see him on the sidelines with a coach like that's not coaching him on football. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He is mentally trying to prepare him to go through games and stuff like that. And that's great that he's doing that. That stinks that he has to do that.
And his
you
best,
know what I mean?
And his best half of football was right before he got injured. With an injured shoulder against Baltimore, he looked like the old Deshaun Watson.
Absolutely amazing.
And then he was gone.
Couldn't believe it. I remember exactly where I was having a phone call. I'm like, hey, did you just see this tweet come out? Deshaun Watson's out for the year. I'm like, it's got to be one of those fake accounts.
Nope.
And then literally 2 seconds, I got to go.
Adam Scheffler.
All right, Matt, who's your next guy?
All right, so my next guy is Jaden Reed, currently going off the board as 77th in ADP. 24 years old, last year finished as wide receiver 25 in his rookie season. Obviously, you know, on the pros side of it, he's a young, exciting player going into his second year in a great offense tied to a quarterback that we all love, right? And this quarterback we all expect to be extended and be there for the long term. So these guys are really kind of locked in together for the foreseeable future. Last year, he was second on the team in targets, 94. Romeo Dubs had 96. But really, when you dig into those numbers and take a look at him, and he outproduced Dubs, even though he had two less. He had about 120 yards more and five more catches. Really, it was a couple of front-loaded games that at the beginning of the season, Dubs got like 12 and 13 targets in back-to-back games. Then they kind of evened out. And then towards the end of the season, it really flipped, and Jaden Reed became the guy. That's when everyone kind of fell in love with him. He kind of burst onto the scene towards the end of the season there. And really, after their week six bye, if you go from that point on, and a lot of times that's, you know, that's when you see a rookie kind of blossom, they have that week off, right? They're able to kind of breathe, take everything in for 1 week. Everything kind of slows down a little bit after that because they're able to kind of big sigh, catch their breath and absorb. From week 7 to week 18, Jaden Reed was wide receiver 7 on the year. And obviously, you know, with just some natural progression from year 1 to year 2, the fact that he is now in an off season where he's not having to learn all the plays, he's not having to get his spot in line with the quarterback and stuff like that. He's established himself. He's in the pecking order at the top, I would think, if not one of the top two guys on the team. I think there's a lot of room for him to blossom and grow in this offense. And really,
7 on wide receiver 7.
7. And that's not the small window. I mean, it's not like they had a week 11 bye or something. And
it's 11 games.
Yeah, it's a big time kind of snippet there. And I think this is a player that everyone can be a little bit surprised by. Even though he had that strong finish, they're going to go back and look at the end result as wide receiver 25 and be like, oh, maybe he didn't do quite as good as I thought last year. But if you dig into just that snippet, that last 11 games, he was on fire. And I think that's something that can carry over really easily to the next season. And on the flip side, on the negative side, it was only one season. it was his rookie year. We've seen guys kind of flash, and then maybe some guys have tape on him now,
sure,
and the adjustments made. So it could really go either way. There's obviously a ton of other good, competent wide receivers.
That's the biggest thing for
on
me
on this team. In Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs. Let me see all
even
the rest.
Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah, Dontavian Wicks. Bo Melton. For crying out loud, had 218 yards on 24 targets. Yep. And that's not even counting both the tight ends that we've talked about in other shows that had 40 targets and
Tucker's
46. He tore his pec, but they're expecting him back.
But he's have to work his way back then.
Sure.
It's just good news for Musgrave.
It is good news for Musgrave, but you know, those guys you almost want to combine to 86 targets and about 700 yards. You know what I mean? So, that's the only downside of a guy like Jaden Reed. So that's how I think he's going to be more boom than bust.
I do too.
Oh, but way more boom than bust.
Because I believe in the player and I love this offense, but the bust potential I think is there.
100% there. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned that from week 7 on being wide receiver 7. If you guys recall, at the end of the year last year, I was like, my number one buy this offseason is probably going to be Jaden Reed. Like I said this on the show in December. I was like, him and Rashee Rice are the two rookies that are like my number one buy. And I was like, Jaden Reed is probably my number one buy. Literally 2 days ago, I traded a first round pick and Jahan Dotson for Jaden Reed. So
I mean, at this point, Jahan Dotson's
future first, right? Not
future first. Yeah, future first round pick and Jahan Dotson for Jaden Reed.
And that's a good move because Jahan Dotson, I think, is a throw in at this point in any trade.
100%.
I'm still in on Jahan Dotson. He's only going into year 3. And
he's only young. First round pick.
Yeah, a former first round pick, had a really good rookie year, not a good second year. But the when you look at like some of the catchable passes, I was doing a thing on Terry McLaurin.
Okay.
And just overall, not even just deep throws or whatever, but just overall, Sam Howell didn't even hit the 70% mark overall of catchable passes, yeah. let alone individual players. So I think Jaden Daniels will be able to do a little bit better.
And I was using Jahan as like how much I'm in on Jaden Reed as well, yeah. because
but I still like the trade.
He's a very fluid like player. I have no problem because he's boom, not even bust. He's like mediocre or bust, right? But like, and I tried not to trade Jahan Dotson because he's my younger receivers I had on my roster on that team too. But like, he's like, no, I want Jahan. I was like, it's not going to. And I thought about because it was my inbox for a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let Jahan Dotson stop me from getting Jaden Reed.
I think that's fair.
The way I looked at it. Because you mentioned, like, already have OTAs. Beat reporters are saying Jaden Reed is easily the best receiver on the field. He looks exactly how he left off last year. And last year, how did he finish so high? He scored a ton of touchdowns mm-hmm. in this offense. And the beat reporter said in OTAs early on, he's already called multiple touchdowns. Like, Jaden Reed's picking up right where he left off last year. And remember, he's also a versatile player. This is somebody who had 11 carries for 119 yards and two touchdowns as well for the Green Bay Packers, who also invested a pretty high, decent second round pick in in Jaden Reed as well. Remember when he went in the second round, we're like, oh, that's kind of a shocker.
Really? Yeah, right
there. It kind of threw us off there. Like, he's back on our radar, and we've been working on some tools to help kind of like offset mm-hmm. that. To make sure we have the tools for you to make sure you're in the best position. So when that stuff does happen,
enhance
your boards change from that as well. So all signs point that Jaden Reed's on a path to be a very good, high quality, successful receiver in this league mm-hmm. and for your dynasty team. I am all in. I have no problem giving a first and a second for Jaden Reed. No problem whatsoever. If I'm a middling team and somebody wants my, like, they think my team's not gonna be that good, I love that trade to help me take a step forward. If I'm a lower end team, I'm still not afraid. Like, he's the kind of player, like, I'm still, like, if I have my number one pick, no. But if I'm like, oh, I might have the fourth overall pick, you know, in a one QB league, like, I still wouldn't hesitate trading for Reed. Two reasons. One, he immediately probably enhances your chance not to finish with the fourth pick. Like, he's the kind of player that can give you another win. You mentioned last year, like, he was the number one in targets, but he led the team in points per game, 10.6 at points per game in PPR league. So he is somebody to me that is a playmaker that looked absolutely fantastic. I said this multiple times on the show last year, the season ended. I was like, man, this guy's watching him play and watching the tape. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something I'm all in on. Like,
I think he was 13.6 fantasy points per game.
13.6?
Yep.
Okay. Apologize about that.
Yep. But yeah, I'm with you overall. I definitely think he's definitely more on the boom side than the bust side. Yeah. But there is a realm where he could bust. Yeah. If Christian Watson gets healthy and starts, you know, garnering a lot of targets per game.
Touchdowns is where he can really eat into
touchdown. And that was going to be my second thing was, you know, touchdowns are not a super sticky stat always. So, you know, if he has a dip year in touchdowns.
He had 10 total touchdowns.
Which is a lot for, you know, especially early on in the season, wasn't featured as much as he was later on in the season.
It also shows you the rapport he has with Jordan Reed, Jordan Love, and where he likes to go. And I like a healthy Christian Watson because he can stretch the field a lot.
He could. It could help in some ways.
Get you a lot more red zone threats where he might not win as much when you get in the red zone, Christian Watson, where Jaden Reed would win.
Right. The last thing I would say is, you know, we only have a year of Jordan Love. You know, that could be the other part of it, is if Jordan Love has his sophomore slump or something like that, where he doesn't build upon this year and he kind of comes back down to earth a little bit. So I think those are, not that I'm projecting those things to happen. 70%
chance he's going to be a top six quarterback, Garrett.
Chances 70% are.
70% chance.
Telling me there's a chance.
I know that. Hey, I'm an analytics guy now. 70% chance.
Do the math, baby. Guy. Do the math.
Tapes in the garbage. What do you think of Jordan Love? Well, there's about a 68.8% chance that he's going to be a top six quarterback next year. I have 26 years of data.
Fantastic.
Wow, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Next year, I'm going back to 1988. Autogram was once.
For Dan Marino.
All right.
Who's your last guy? Close us out here. Hey, guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is, the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM. Pretty. You can use the analyzer. That you can use the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERD.
Get your whole estate.
Last one, I think most people would agree this is one of the most boomy and most busty players that we've talked about.
Rich loves busties.
He loves busties.
I just flipped my favorite.
Kyle Pitts.
Woo.
Kyle Pitts, after his rookie campaign, was impossible to trade for. Literally, like, you had to overpay to such an overwhelming extent.
Pat Mahomes.
Yes. He was getting taken first round of startups. You were 2 first plus. You were giving everything for Kyle Pitts because he had such a good rookie campaign, specifically in yards. But even his first year, the touchdowns were like, it's a little weird, but so many catches, what so many yards.
Like 3 or something?
I think it was 3.
Yeah.
Then we have the past 2 years, and the past 2 years have been very underwhelming. Very underwhelming for Kyle Pitts. He has not scored a lot of touchdowns. He has not gotten a lot of yards. Arthur Smith has been his head coach, and he did not get the targets, especially in optimal ranges. I mentioned it on a show earlier on in the offseason. He had 5 targets in the red zone last year. 5.
He had 3 touchdowns last year. It was 1 his rookie season.
1 his rookie season, yeah. 3 last year. That's what it was. Well, he converted a high percentage of them because he only had 5 targets in the red zone. Like, that's absurd. That's absurd. But I think we always forget, and not forget.
Going back to my George Pickens, oh no.
Oh no.
No, don't get on the wrong side of him.
George Pickens is a lot like Drake London. Oh no. But all that being said, we talk a lot about Arthur Smith being gone, and that is a big piece of the puzzle. But just as big is going from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
And Kirk Cousins is so good for tight ends. We've seen what he did with TJ Hockenson. TJ Hockenson went from tight end 8, 9, 10 in fantasy in Detroit. He goes to Minnesota. Now he's the top dog in fantasy on a points per game basis. He was a monster. He got 15, triple the targets in the red zone. And he didn't even play the full season and still had triple the targets in the red zone that TJ Hockenson did. But even if you're like, well, it's TJ Hockenson, Conklin was getting 17, 18 red zone touches. Like, it was absurd. But going back to the catchable passes, Kyle Pitts got 90 targets last year. Only 57 of those 90 targets were catchable. 57. Like, and that's the thing with all of this. Like, it's such a huge upgrade in coaching staff. It is such a huge upgrade in quarterback. Like, everything has been upgraded for him. So the boom potential for him to be a top 3 fantasy football tight end this year, I think, is extremely realistic.
And he's got one of the best safety nets at quarterback as well.
Yeah.
Like, so even Kirk,
Michael Penix,
if you're worried about Kirk and Achilles, like, you have a top 8 overall NFL draft pick who's got a ton of experience at the collegiate level. Him and Bo Nix both coming in with a ton of experience at a collegiate level to kind of really soften that floor a little
bit. Could pick up right where he left. It reminds me of, like, even though he wasn't drafted as high, Tony Romo goes down. Oh, darn, we have to start Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Well, that worked out okay.
That worked out.
You know, and so you have that type of situation here. Now, on the flip side, the past is the past. For, like, by hook or by crook, like, Kyle Pitts has not produced for fantasy the past 2 seasons. So the bust potential is, that's what he's been the past 2 years. He's been a bust. And so, as good and as flowery as I can paint a picture, and as likely as I think it is that he has his best year in fantasy to date, we've been very, very disappointed the past 2 seasons, and he has not lived up to our expectations, even remotely close. So for what it's worth, I think he's going to be great, but it's not even like, here's how he could bust. No, we've seen it happen 2 years in a row.
I really don't have anything to add about that because I think Kyle Pitts is like the epitome of boom bust. Like he's like the poster child of boom bust. Like he should be the cover of the show. I really have nothing to add. It's
listen,
crystal clear.
I think he has a ton more boom potential.
And I think every guy we named has more boom than bust. Mm-hmm. I think that's why y'all picked those guys because we all lean.
We like these guys.
I think we all lean towards our favorite booms out of all these. Because we had a long list of guys here to talk about. I mean, so I think we all lean towards more boom. And I liked every guy we talked about, honestly. Yeah.
But it's definitely within the realm of possibilities, and it would have to be Kyle Pitts fell off. You know what I mean? Like he's not understanding the new offense. He's not what I mean? It would have to be that.
Drake London is just so dominant with targets.
And Bijan
running the ball.
Yeah, Bijan. Like
these guys.
Or Bijan's eating in the middle.
Sure.
And Kyle Pitts is supposed to go.
Those guys are just that much better than him. I don't see it. I think he's going to eat. It's going to be fantastic.
That's crazy. You have top 10 picks at running back, receiver, and tight end.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And your offense was that bad.
If I had
and a really good offensive line.
If I had to pick a guy out of that group that wasn't going to do well, it would be London. Or as well. If there was a guy that was going to step back, it'd be London, not Pitts, for me.
Yeah.
So I think it would be Pitts over. I think London's a very talented receiver.
All
right. We'll see.
You could put London on the boom bust.
Put London on there. I don't think you can put Bijan on there, though. Bijan's going to, he's going to eat.
He's a running back
They've already come out and talk about all the different ways they want to use him. Yeah. Like, I love hearing that.
Me too, man.
Yep. So.
Love it. All right, guys. Good show. We'll be back next week with we're gonna cover some wide receivers in the first show. And
I think we're gonna do both the ones next time. So we'll do wide receivers in one show, tight ends in the other.
Oh, perfect. Look forward to that. We'll be back next week. Thanks, Nerd Herd.
Adios.